Good morning. Today is Monday, July 26th. Well, last week we closed part one after reading John 4:24, which states God is spirit. And this morning we'll begin to look at that word for spirit. In the Strong's numbering system, it's number 4151, the word pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A. And again, I just find it at least so needful to my heart to repeat again, at the forefront of all this, why are we taking this time on Holy Spirit? And as I mentioned last week, Holy Spirit is the ultimate life changer for an individual. So above all things, we should desire to know and believe the truth regarding Holy Spirit. And, you know, shouldn't we desire to have understanding in this area of our Christian walks? Of course. The Apostle Paul thought so. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 3, he expressed his fervent desire for all of the believers to personally experience the gift of Holy Spirit doing its job in their inner man. And starting with verse 16, Paul's passion for the saints was this, that he, God, would grant you, the born-again one, according to the riches of God's glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, verse 19, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul wanted these beloved ones to experience God in 4D. 3D is not going to do. Breadth, length, depth, and height. And as Larry has shared in previous teachings, with the natural eye, we can see how wide a thing is, how long, how tall, but we cannot see the depth because it is an internal measurement. It's hidden away. Now, mathematically, we can formulate the depth, but we cannot see it because it is inside the width, the length, and the height of the thing. Yeah. With TVs, they now have 4D, and it adds more color resolution and depth to the picture. The biggest thing is, you know, 3D, you somewhat get a, well, you get a 3D perspective. But with this 4D, it adds some depth to the picture, making the images much more lifelike. So much so that a 4D TV, they say, should be a minimum of like 65 inches or something like that. And yet, a 4D TV cannot begin to display the depth of what the gift of Holy Spirit can make known to us and what that gift can do within us, because the gift of Holy Spirit is truly inside. It's an inside working. And that is exactly why we have this loosely laid theme that we set for 2021, which is Christ in you. That's what we're desiring. And that's where we're headed each and every segment as we move along with these teachings throughout the year. And the end result, so that we may all experience God and his gift in us at that four-dimensional level. We all desire that the Christ in us become more lifelike, that it takes on a spiritual depth. Vines, V-I-N-E-S, Expository Dictionary of the New Testament, defines pneuma as spirit or breath. The root word for pneuma denotes to breathe or to blow as the wind. Well, breath and wind are actually invisible. But think about their powerful effects. When we see a storm rolling through, we just had one the other night. The storm rolls through. You don't see the wind, but my gosh, you look at the leaves on the trees and you witness the powerful effects of that wind. You know that it is blowing because you see the trees stirring, the clouds moving around. And how about on a cold winter's day, we exhale and we see this misty condensation. We see what we call our breath, but we really don't see the breath. We see what happens in that cold air. And how about breathing, which powers physical life? You know, you cannot see the breath in the breathing. You know, you might see the rib cage inflate or deflate. You might see nostrils enlarge when we inhale. You might even hear someone breathing. How about snoring, for example? But in Genesis 2:7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And from Vine's definition of spirit, so we see God is spirit, so he is invisible and yet powerful. And the effect of his invisible power can be seen, but not his power, not the spirit. And that is exactly what we want. We want the invisible power of the Holy Spirit at work within our inner man. To the end, we see effect. We see an effectual working according to the Word of God. We want to see exercised power and blessings, healings, souls won for Christ. And all those things testify to the presence of the Holy Spirit, yet the Spirit itself is unseen. Spirit, we cannot see, but there is plenty we can see that is the working of the gift of Holy Spirit within us. Now, Strong's definition is a current of air, breath, or breeze, and it refers to spirit which animates life, a form of life. And in the King James Version, it can refer to the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, Holy Spirit. It can refer to demons, angels, ghosts, or the human soul, the human mind, the soul of man, so to speak. That presents a vast array of possibilities when we come across the word pneuma, but of course, it is translated properly according to the subject of the verse or verses. The word spirit is translated in the Old Testament from the Hebrew word ruach, R-U-A-C-H. Both the Hebrew and the Greek word for spirit, they have the same fundamental meaning as invisible force or power. Last week, we worked that holy, holy, holy is Jehovah. That adjective used describes Jehovah. He is severed from all defilement, pure in every sense of the word. God is spirit, and the quality is holy. Holy, holy, holy. John 1:18 says, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father," that means he is in a very special, reserved place of honor in the Father's heart, so to speak. It says, "The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he," the Son, "hath declared him the Father." No man, and that emphatically means no, not even one, no man hath seen God at any time. So no one has physically seen God. It's right there. That is why Jesus Christ came to declare him, so man would be able to mentally perceive God. We can't see him. So when we look at the life of Christ, when we look at the way he behaved, conducted his manner of life in the throughout the Gospels, we read the words that he spoke, and look into those words to see his heart and his intent. We look in and we see how he said he did nothing of himself, that he always did the Father's will. Everything he did was of and from the Father. So he came to declare God so that we could mentally perceive who the nature of God. Jesus Christ said he was the way to the Father. I think we might have even read it last week, surely the week before. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And this is the part, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me," by Jesus Christ. And you know, God wants everyone. His heart's desire is that everyone would choose the way, the truth, and the life in order to get to him, speaking of God. And 1 Timothy 2:4 says, "Who," which is God, "will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth." So not only to gain salvation or entrance into heaven, but to come all the way unto the knowledge of the truth. That his heart, his mind would be filled with all the fullness of God. That he would have knowledge and wisdom and the operation of that gift within him. 1 Timothy 2:5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." So here's God and here's man. Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, is the man in the middle who makes it available for us to get to the Father. And for the unsaved, now most of you listening to this tape certainly are born again, but for the unsaved, and we should always keep these verses fresh in our mind. Romans 10:9-10. We may be saved, but it's important to keep salvation close at heart because we are ambassadors for Christ. And we are to reconcile men to God. There are still people who are not saved, and we can bring the invitation to them. Romans 10:9 will start, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus," and remember, he's the mediator between God and man, "and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him," on Christ, "shall not be ashamed or disappointed in the future expectation." Verse 12, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." Now, when we come across someone who has not heard, that is not born again, we see that they don't grasp anything spiritual that we are saying, well, they need these verses. And it doesn't matter who you are or where you came from. Verse 12 said, "It is the same Lord for all." Verse 13 goes on to say, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 3:16 speaks of this very truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, the Son, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Remember I said it's a life-changing event, receiving the Holy Spirit, having the gift of God, having the inward man, Christ in you. It's a life changer because we will not perish, but we will have eternal or everlasting life. God promised everlasting life through his only begotten Son. And in Acts 1:4, Jesus, as he was just before his ascension, and being assembled together with them, his apostles, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you've heard of me. You know, I've already told you what's going to happen when I go. So here the Holy Spirit, the gift of Holy Spirit, is referred to as the promise of the Father. It's what he has been promising, not just once, but throughout the word. Verse 5, for John the Baptist, truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, not many days hence. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power. So that they're going to wait for that promise of the Father, and wrapped up in that promise of the Father, in with that gift of Holy Spirit, is power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And sure enough, Acts 2 is the living testament of the promise of the Father. It records the receiving of this power. It records the baptism with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. It's a stunning record. This is the day God gave the gift of Holy Spirit for the first time, that it would now abide in the believer who chose Christ. Verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. It says there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. So the Spirit could not be seen, but its effect was heard, and it was mighty. And the word for wind is actually a Greek word out of that same word family as pneuma. And in verse 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, here we have it. God's record of the first outpouring of his gift of Holy Spirit. This is it. What a unique, one-of-a-kind, glorious, holy, holy, holy event that we now have the gift of Holy Spirit available to all of mankind who would choose to accept God's invitation to believe on his only begotten Son. And from here, we'll begin to look at the workings of the Holy Spirit in that inward man of the believer. And in the weeks to come, we'll search out this multifaceted gift. Jesus calls it the Spirit of Truth in John 14:17. He then calls it the Comforter in John 14:26. The Apostle Paul in Colossians 1:27 called the gift of Holy Spirit Christ in you, the hope of glory. We'll be looking at these occurrences in the weeks to come. And remember, it's to have a clarity in our hearts and minds as to just exactly what we have on the inside. Clarity clears up confusion. It gets us out of those misty flats that, you know, we don't quite understand how things work, you know. It just puts some starch into it. And as I mentioned in an earlier teaching this year, when someone asks us, who is God? Our hearts should open as a breeze. The Holy Spirit should be coming forth from us, bringing life, bringing light, love, and that invitation for that person to receive everlasting life. In 1 Peter 3:15, you know, the context of this verse is in the context of believers suffering adversities. But when believers ask us, why in the world do you put up with all this stuff? You know, our reason is the hope. And in 1 Peter 3:15, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And, you know, it's always our hope. We always have the hope of deliverance, both now and certainly our eternal life that's yet to be received, so it is a hope at the return of Christ. So God's word spoke to your heart concerning himself. His word brought you to life. His word literally brought you to life with the promise of eternity. So we can all speak to that. So we want to be mindful to take the time when someone asks us questions. Boy, if someone gives us an opportunity to share with them Christ, to reconcile them to God, and we definitely want to lead them to salvation and to the knowledge of God, and put them in a place where they can receive that gift of Holy Spirit. And then as we continue on in part 3, we're going to now begin to see the different ways that the Spirit worked in men and women throughout the Bible, and God has not changed. So that same working will be mighty within us. And we should expect that. That should be our expectation. So have a wonderful week. God bless you all. And next week we'll move on to part 3.